Good morning, uncles and aunties. It's a privilege for me to be up here to be able to greet you. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, but at least we can still meet and greet each other online in this way. Well, I hope that the messages that you have been hearing over the bilingual online have been encouraging to you. And today is my privilege to be able to bring a message. Okay, what message is this? The title of today's message is Believing in a Wonderful God of Grace. See, we've been talking quite a bit about faith, but we also want to ask ourselves, how do we understand this faith? There are two parts to faith that we need to understand. The first part is how God relates to us as a wonderful God of grace. And it is God who begins this relationship of faith that we can have with Him. And as we understand God, as we appreciate Him as a God of grace, only then can we respond to Him in faith appropriately. So there are two parts that we can think about and focus on this morning as I take the time to speak to you. Okay, one, a wonderful God of grace. Two, that we can believe in Him and how that belief and faith will express itself. Okay? Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. And this morning, I'm going to share with you from the story of Noah. Okay? And of course, this name has a special meaning to me. My son has just turned 2 years old, and his name is Noah. So when he was born, my wife and I decided that we're going to name our son Noah. Why? Well, this morning I'm going to share with you why that is the case. One, because it is our hope that Noah will always have the grace of God upon him. That our God will always look upon him with grace. That's the first thing that we hope. Because there is nothing more wonderful, more precious we can have in life than to know that God looks upon us with grace. What does that mean? Well, that will be explained a little bit more later on in the message. The second thing that we hope for him is that as God looks upon him with grace, that he would also learn to respond to God in faith. And if we can have these two parts, one, how God is a gracious and wonderful God to us, and we can understand that, and we can appreciate that, well, that's the first thing. The second part of it is for us to be able to respond to him in faith. And this morning, I just really would like to present to you and speak to you about a wonderful God. So first and foremost, that we have a wonderful God of grace. Well, let's take some time to read the Bible and look at the story of Noah. And let's take some time to see how how did it all work out for him? Okay, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 6 right now. Okay, and we read in starting from verse 5. Now, we need to take a bit of time to understand the kind of world that Noah, the biblical Noah, found himself in. The kind of world that he lived in. And it really was not a very, very wonderful place. Okay, let's look at the way that this world was described. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now imagine that. God looked upon the world, and what did he see? He saw the wickedness of man. He saw it was so obvious, it was so great in the earth. He didn't have to look for it. It was so obviously there. And that was a problem in the ancient world that Noah lived in. Okay, what else do we read? Let's take a look. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine that? Wow, that is something. Now imagine that God not only looks at the world and sees all the things that are visible and external. Imagine that God can look into the heart of the human being. Imagine that God can look into the thoughts of the human, of the intentions And God can look right straight into the heart. Sometimes when we go to a hospital, we have to do medical check, we have to take x-rays, we have to check, take MRIs to be able to see what is inside the heart and the body of a person. Well, God has that kind of vision to look spiritually into the heart. Imagine what God saw there. And it was deeply, deeply upsetting to God. Because God did not create man like this. God created man to be good, righteous, holy, just like him. And yet man turned out to be this way. And you know something? This caused God to be really... let's look at verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now we mustn't imagine that God is the kind of God that enjoys destroying or punishing people. That's not the God we have. Look at this. When God sees that man has become wicked like this, it causes grief in his heart. It causes him to feel sorry about the whole thing. It causes him to feel sad. That's what the Bible is telling us about what God is like. Okay? And so the Lord said in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. This was the situation in Noah's world at that time. Here was man, created to be good and wonderful and holy. They ended up wicked beyond description, actually. That the way that the Bible has to describe it was absolutely terrible. What should God do in a situation like this? The only right thing is for God to destroy the thing that he has created, because that thing, man, has become so wicked and so bad. You see, so this is where the story is going right now. And as we look at it, it is a very sad state of affairs. So how do we understand God as a gracious God in such a situation? And I like this next verse, in verse 8 over here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now you can imagine how God looked upon the world. God looked upon the world and it was a wicked world. The hearts of men was terribly evil continually. But the eyes of the Lord do not just look upon the world in judgment. The eyes of the Lord also look upon the world with grace. And that is the beautiful, wonderful thing. That in spite of all this wickedness and in spite of all this sin, God will still look upon the world with grace. And God will still look upon this one man especially, Noah, with grace. You see, this is the grace of God towards us. Imagine if God would look upon our world today. And God does look upon our world today. What would he see, actually? Would he not see a lot of wickedness today as well, as he did in the days of Noah? Would he not see, if he were to look into the heart of men, would he not see evil? If he looks into our thoughts, our intentions, would he not see that which is wicked and evil? And yet, God is gracious. You know, I think about this wonderful truth, and personally, I am just impacted that God would look into my heart and see me for who I really am and all the wickedness that goes on inside my heart. And yet, he will still look upon me with grace. You know, that is the wonderful, wonderful grace of God that is shown to us. Okay, and that is what we want to take time to think about. Okay, so God does look upon us with grace. Okay, in spite of the evil and the sin that is there in our life, in our heart. But how does that express? How do we know? Right, sometimes we're not sure. How can we be sure that God looks upon us with grace? How do I know that? Well, I have two words I want to share with you about how the grace of God is seen in our life. The first word is this word called relationship. Take a look at how God would relate to Noah. It's a beautiful thing. We read in the story in Genesis, we will read this phrase again and again. And the phrase is this, and God said to Noah. And God said to Noah.
And the Lord spoke to Noah. Now, we see that again and again and again. You know, the very fact that God would speak to us is His grace. Because that's His way of starting a kind of personal relationship with us. So every time we hear the Word of God, every time we can understand the Word of God, every time we know that the Lord is speaking to our heart, actually, that is an expression of God's grace. We read on about how God not only would speak to Noah, but what would He say? He would reveal things. He would reveal His thoughts. He would reveal His plans. He would reveal His will. He will reveal things about Himself. You see, that's another way that we can appreciate the grace of God. The grace of God when He would come to us and be personal and relate to us and tell us things about Himself. Isn't that what happens each week as we open the Bible, when we read God's Word? Isn't that what the Lord is doing? He's relating, He's revealing things to us. Oh, that's special. We must remember that God did not reveal it to just anybody, but to Noah, the one upon whom He had grace. Right? So there is God relating, there is God revealing. Now, one more word. As God relates and God reveals, God becomes real. And that's a special thing. And you know, the walk, the relationship that Noah had with God was very real and personal. How does the Bible describe it? It talks about a walk with God. It's a very special kind of word. You know, there are few people that you would be able to go out and walk. And uncles and aunties, I don't know if you take the time actually to walk with each other. Of course, walk slowly, walk carefully. But who would you walk with? Would it be your spouse? Would it be your children? And if there was anybody in the world that you could walk with, who would you walk with? You know, the Bible describes how Noah had this relationship with God, and it describes it as a walk with God. Now, that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to consider. Okay? So this is the first part of it, relationship. That's beautiful to think about. How do we know that God's grace is upon us? We know because God relates. We know because God is personal. We know because when we pray to God, we know He hears. We know He's there. Even though sometimes we struggle a lot in our faith, we know that God's right there. Now that relationship is personal, is precious, is real. That's wonderful. And that's what God does to show His grace. Okay? That's the first word, relationship. What's the second word? To talk about how God shows His grace. The second word is this word called salvation. Now, it wouldn't make any sense if God were to only relate to Noah but not save him from the flood that was to come. You see, the ultimate, the best expression of God's grace is that He will save. And He told Noah, you know what? I'm going to save you and your family from the judgment that would come upon the earth, from the flood waters that would fill the earth. I'm going to save you. Isn't that beautiful? That God will relate to us. And as God relates to us, He reveals things to us. What did God reveal to Noah? He revealed to Noah that He was going to save him in a very special and amazing way. See, this is our God today as well. A God of wonderful grace. A God who relates and a God who saves. You know, I uncles and aunties, I know that some of you, you know, your grandchildren are very, very special to you. I know that because my own son is looked after a lot of the time by actually his grandparents on both sides. And I deeply appreciate what they do for him. You know, my son has found grace in their eyes. How do I know that? Because no matter what he does, it's okay. It's going to be okay. You know, I look at the way they relate to him. Of course, he can only speak a few words here and there right now, and there's not a whole lot he can say. And in fact, the things that he can say, he will say it again and again and again and again. And he will repeat it again and again and again. You know, but to the grandparents, it's joy. You know, they don't get irritated. They don't get upset by him at all. Grace. And each time we would
Each day, they would always tell us new things they learned about him, things that they have discovered about him that makes that relationship always fresh. Okay, and it's so real. How do I know it's real? Even when he's not with them for that day, they're still thinking about him. They're still thinking about how to help him, about how to teach him, about how to engage him. Now that is real. So it's a very precious, precious thing. And can you see that when God shows his grace to us, there is a very special relationship that is there. Maybe we don't always fully understand that, but it's still there and it's real and it's precious. Uncles and aunties, God loves you in a very special way. And his word for each of you is this word called grace. And he wants you to know he's there for you, with you, every step of the way in life. So this is the God that we have. Now, if we have a God that is so wonderful and so gracious towards us, then how should we respond to him? Now, that's the question. But that's where this word faith really comes into the picture. You see, some of us try to have faith in God without really understanding and knowing how gracious and good he is. The best way to have faith is to first experience the goodness and graciousness of God. And that's what Noah had with God. So here was how was he going to respond to God? Well, I like what the Bible describes about how he would respond to God. Let's take a look at the Bible again. And we read in Genesis 6, verse 22 now. So verse 13, we read, "And God said to Noah," right? And he spoke all the things that God would say, relating, revealing himself, right? And then we come to verse 22. Now we read, how did Noah respond? "Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." And this little phrase is repeated again and again. So the writer of this story wants us to know that this is how Noah responded. Notice there was nothing written about what Noah said. Nothing about what he said. It's about what he did. Total obedience. This is his response. Total and complete obedience to God. But we ask ourselves further, how do we obey God like this? Because it's not an easy thing to do. It is not an easy thing to be able to completely obey God. We all know that. What was it that was beneath that obedience? What's the invisible part? It's actually this word called faith. Now, the story in Genesis doesn't mention this, but there is another part of the Bible that talks about the faith of Noah. And this part of the Bible is the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, okay, and verse 7. Let me repeat that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Let's take some time to turn to this part of the Bible so that we can understand how Noah's faith actually worked. Okay, let's turn to it. I'm going to pause for a few moments so that you can turn to it together with me. Okay? Okay, well, we read here in Hebrews 11, 7. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household." So the things that are not mentioned in the book of Genesis, the book of Hebrews picks it up and tells us and reveals to us what Noah's faith was really like. Okay, what was Noah's faith like? I want to highlight just two things that are there. Number one, Noah's faith affected how he feels, how he felt. That's what Noah's faith did. You see, faith is not all about what we do alone, although that is important, which we will see shortly. Faith is also about how we feel. Okay, let's take a look at this one little phrase here called "moved with godly fear." By faith, Noah, okay, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. What's that mean? What that means is really this, that Noah had a very special regard for God and for his word. Okay, so that was the godly fear part of it. But what did this regard for God's word cause him to do? It caused him to feel very deeply concerned. This is the idea here.
right? In the Mandarin, it speaks about being concerned in the heart. That's what he felt. He felt very concerned. You see, one part of faith is that it causes us to feel concerned. Why? Because we want to obey God. Because we want to listen to God's word. Because we want to make sure that we know what God is saying. It affects how we feel, right? So I'm always, you know, to me, this whole pandemic is like a bit of a test of our faith. But uncles and aunties, I'm always impressed when I hear about how you respond to this pandemic. Why? Because one of the things that you do is to make sure that you still are able to hear the word of God. See, it starts because you are concerned. We saw that when we were meeting together in the past, when you would be, you know, come early for service. And you'll be there every week. And if you're not there, you feel concerned. That's who you are. And when this whole virus took over, you continued to be very concerned to have the word of God. So even though it's even more difficult that you have to access the messages online, you have to ask your children for help, you know what? Because you are concerned to listen to God's word, you still make the effort to go online, to look at YouTube, or to look at the Bethany website so that you can watch these messages. What does that say? You see, the concern that you have is a reflection of your faith. In the same way, Noah, when he heard these commands from God, was so deeply concerned by what God said. It moved him, it drove him to obey. So part of faith is actually how we feel deeply concerned. It's like how you feel deeply concerned, not only that you should hear God's word and obey it, but that your family should as well. And that's why you're concerned for your children and your grandchildren. You see, this sense of concern, it's a good thing. It shows us that our faith is alive. So that's one part of it. Okay, and that's a beautiful part to be able to consider. So faith doesn't mean that I'm happy or there's nothing that I'm worried about. That's not true. Sometimes your faith causes you to be concerned. And that's a good thing. In the case of Noah, his faith caused him to be deeply moved with godly fear and deeply concerned. So this is a good thing to be able to observe. Okay, what's the second aspect of his faith that I just want to bring up? The second part is found in this word, prepared and ark. His faith, Noah's faith, caused him not only to feel concerned, but to ultimately act on it, to obey. And the obedience is actually found here. Okay, the word prepared actually also means built. Because at the end of the day, Noah had to build the ark that God commanded him. And the ark wasn't a small boat. The ark was a very big vessel, a very big ship that had to float on flood waters. And the commands was not an easy thing. Here is a 600-year-old man, by the way, Noah, 600 years old, having to build an ark with a small family. Now, of course, there must have been ways that God had helped him. We do not know. But here we go. How was he going to do it? It's going to take a long time. It's going to take faith. And his faith came into the picture and it caused him to obey. Can we see that? And also, not only that, what else did God command that was actually very difficult? God said, you won't be alone in that ark, Noah. Not just you and your family. There are lots of animals coming as well. And they will come to you two by two. Thankfully, Noah didn't have to go out and catch the animals by himself. That would have been too difficult a task. Instead, the animals came to him because God commanded them. And they came two by two, male and female as well. Okay? So what was Noah's job? God said to him, you have to keep them alive. What? I have to keep them alive. Well, what if one of the little birds die? Then what if the male dies? Then the other one's gone as well. What do we do? There are no spares around. What else did Noah was he commanded? God actually commanded him to feed the animals. Of course, they have to be kept alive. So food had to be set aside for them. Now, my son's name is Noah, so he gets a lot of presents, books about the Noah story.
for his birthday and so on and so forth. And they like to present this story in many different ways. But one of them, which is quite true, is that they have to set aside food for the animals. But how would no one know what the animals eat? How would he know whether this animal will like this food? How would he know? There are lots and lots of challenges in this command that God gave to Noah. Many, many, many hard things that he had to figure out and puzzle over. How is he going to obey God completely? How? It will be by faith. You see, this is what our faith is. First, there are two parts here that I'm just trying to highlight. One, it causes us to feel very concerned and burdened to obey God. That's the first part. That's the driving force. But the second part of it is just as important. If we feel very concerned but we don't do anything about it, then there is nothing very significant about that faith. But Noah did. He had both. He felt very concerned, and as he felt concerned, he did it. He went out of his way to obey God. He did everything he needed to do. He must have got the animals in order. He got his family in order. Everyone must do their part. Everyone must work very, very hard in order to obey God. And however long it took to build that ark and do everything he was told, he did it. And the scriptures just captures it in one sentence. Thus, Noah did everything that God commanded him. So he did. So this is the kind of faith that we want to see. And in the same way, uncles and aunties, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to obey. Because faith causes us to obey. Now, that's what we learn. But obedience truly is not easy. I mean, take this whole period of the pandemic. It's been a very tough time for a lot of people and a lot of you. You're forced to stay at home. You can't have a big family gathering. You can only have a limited number of people each time. You can't have your whole family together. Sometimes that's upsetting. We can't go out. We can't be with our friends. The worst thing, we can't even come to church. And it's not easy to obey when there are rules and constraints all over the place. Right? Isn't that true? And we have to bear with it. And how long do we need to bear with all these rules? We don't even know. But what's the key word over here? What's the way that we know that our faith is real? Obedience. Total obedience. Obedience because God commands it. Obedience because actually it's for our good. Obedience because the rules protect us. Obedience because the commands of God are things that we want to obey. So as we look at the kind of faith that we want to have, right? So let's take time to recap again. First, the grace of God. That's wonderful, that's precious. Okay, and that God wants to relate to us, that God wants to save us. Let's respond to this wonderful God. Let's do that. But how do we respond exactly? Well, Noah also shows us that our faith causes us first to feel and then to obey. Even if it's hard, even if it's long drawn, even if it's over a long period of time, we can still obey. So this is the word that I just wanted to share with you uncles and aunties, is we miss you, we love you, we wish to be able to eat with you again, we wish to be able to sing with you again. Well, I miss singing. We hear in a bilingual worship partly English, but then there is also the Chinese part of the singing, and there's this two going side by side like this. I miss that. We miss that. We miss you. You know, but what is the best way to look at all these challenges in life? It's not to be upset or complain about them, although sometimes we feel that way, and we can understand. From time to time, we feel discouraged. From time to time, we feel we want to quit. We can understand that. But the overall picture must be that of faith. It must be something where we feel concerned not to always hear the word of God. We feel concerned to receive it. We feel concerned to talk about it. Now, that's a good thing. And most importantly, there must be an obedience to the things that we need to do for this period of time. And let there be faith in a wonderful, gracious God. So this is what I would like to share with you, uncles and aunties. And I hope that you will be encouraged to find this faith real for yourself. We can all find this faith.
whether you're younger like myself or if you're older like yourself. And I know that some of you also are looking at very, very difficult health challenges coming up. Some of you are looking at problems that will only deteriorate over time. What is needed in all these things? Faith and obedience. And it can be done. One day, God will save us. One day, God will take us home. One day, God will give to us that special righteousness that He has for us. Okay, towards the end of Hebrews 11:7, it talks about a special gift that God wants to give, that God gave to Noah and God wants to give to us. When God sees our faith like this, when God sees how this faith, you know, God sees us trying hard to believe, when God sees us trying hard to obey, He's going to give to us a very special thing called righteousness, a perfect righteousness. It's a special gift that He gives to all who have faith in Him. So God is not expecting us to have a perfect, wonderful faith. No. But each time we try, each time we believe, each time we obey, each time we really put in the effort to do as God says, to hear His word and to do it, you know something? God looks upon you with grace and His favor and love, and God approves of your faith. And I hope that you will be specially encouraged as you hear these words and as you take time to consider the word from the Lord today. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You that You are truly a gracious God, that You look upon us with Your favor and You love us and You relate to us in a very, very special way. And we want to thank You for how You save us in spite of all our sins and problems in life. And we pray You will help us to respond to You well, in faith, in obedience, to be the kind of people You want us to be. We pray for all those who are facing especially difficult challenges, health challenges, conditions that are deteriorating, problems. And Lord, we want to ask You to especially show them Your grace yet again and help them to know You are near and You want to walk with them each and every step of the way of their lives. And may we all have the kind of faith to obey You the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.